last weekend, the world of Irish soccer was very saddened with the news that the late, great Liam Toohey had passed away. And Liam was a legend in Irish soccer, and his funeral mass was in the Raheny Church, our mother of Our Lady of Divine Grace in Raheny, and it's a big, big church, and it was packed to capacity at the funeral mass last Wednesday morning, standing room only. The President of Ireland, Michael D. Higgins, was there, Bertie Ahern there, but the greats of Irish soccer, former teammates of Liam's, particularly from Shamrock Rovers, were there in force, and Niall Quinn was there, but well-known sports people attended the funeral. But it just brought back to my mind that I had the great privilege of chatting to Liam Toohey on the Saturday Sports Show. It was back in December 2005, and it was a day, morning of the funeral service for the great George Best. But I was privileged to speak to Liam Toohey just about parts of his great soccer career, and I just thought, as a tribute to him, we'd repeat that interview. So I hope you enjoy it. The great Liam Toohey, and Liam's on the line. Good afternoon to you, Liam.
Afternoon, Fergus.
So, how are you?
I'm Gahanawat, Fergus.
Gahanawat, Oshishin Gahuthug. Liam, you've obviously been watching the telly this morning for the sad service.
Yes.
Very, very sad.
Very, very sad. He's had a bad last, 20 years or so.
Mm.
But he was a fantastic player, so there's no point in me going into that, because we have been reminded of his ability on telly and so on over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Did you ever see him playing in the flesh, Liam?
I actually played against him.
Oh, did you? I was going to ask you that.
I actually played with him.
Did you?
Yeah, we played an old charity match out here in Collins Barracks.
Ah, right.
Some years back. A friendly for Shea Brennan in a testimonial situation.
Yes.
And he was magic.
I know.
He beat four or five players going one way, and then he turned around and beat four or five of them going back.
As they say, he could turn on a sixpence.
Absolutely.
And playing against him, was that the match you played against him or with him?
We played against him for Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah. Against Manchester United?
Yes.
Ah, yes, yeah. Great, happy days, I'm sure.
Happy days, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, well now, Liam, I want to just talk about your own career, if I may. I mean, fantastic career. I think I've done a bit of homework, and I hope I'm right. And I think it was back in August 51, you signed for Shamrock Rovers from St. Mary's of East Wall.
That's dead on, yeah.
Yeah, and it took a couple of seasons before you cemented your place on the first team in Rovers.
It took me, I went up there at 18 in 1951, and I got into the first team at 53.
And I think your first game was against St. Pat's, was it? Or was it?
Yes, it was against St. Pat's.
And then, of course, the following year, you were selected to play for the League of Ireland against the English League.
That's correct.
Do you remember that well? Stanley Matches was playing.
Absolutely, they were great days. It's a great pity that those interleague matches seem to have stopped.
I remember being in Dalymount Park at one. Wasn't all ticket, of course, in those days. And I was nearly crushed up against the wall trying to get in, you know. Fabulous days, weren't they?
Yes, and once you got into a spot, you couldn't move from the spot because you were hedged in by shoulders all around you.
Yeah, but it must have been marvellous to be a part in playing those games.
Well, it was fantastic. Mm. It was a great time for League of Ireland football.
It was.
Great time. I mean, and particularly for Shamrock Rovers, because we had a good side and doing very well, and we had full houses everywhere we went.
Yeah. Milltown was a great place to be on Sunday afternoons in those days too.
Mecca.
And then just, I think that interleague game, I think the English League won 5-0, but 2 years later they came back and it was a 3-3 draw. And I think you got the second goal, didn't you?
I didn't do it, yeah.
And Dermot Curtis got the equaliser.
Yes, he gave Billy Wright, who was the centre-half, he gave him a bit of a going over.
Good. So then, of course, some of the English clubs became interested in Liam Toohey, and I think West Bromwich Albion were the first team to show a bit of interest, but you weren't too keen in going there.
I hadn't got it in my mind ever to be going away to full-time. I was very happy here playing for Rovers, and I was working in Guinness.
So
when I did decide to go, it took me by surprise, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Because was it Charlie Mitten was the manager of Newcastle United?
Yeah, and Newcastle came over to play in a match for myself and Liam Hennessy.
Yeah.
And after the game, he asked me, would I go over? And he asked me to give him a few years. I was 27 years of age, Fergus.
I know,
I had a good job, and I had no real interest at that stage. But when he asked me, for whatever reason, I just couldn't resist it.
I know. And I think initially it was a one-year contract, was it, Liam? Or was it three?
In those days, they didn't give you... You signed each year.
Ah, I see, And your first game, I think, was against Preston North End.
Yeah. And Fergus, playing for Preston North End was a fella who I played with for years afterwards with Shamrock Rovers, Johnny Fulham.
Yes, yeah.
And we won the match down there. Mm. And then my home debut was against Fulham on a Wednesday night up in Newcastle, and we beat Fulham 7-2, and I scored a couple of goals.
Good.
And George Cohn was marking me, who was the English international fullback.
Yeah, George Cohn, of the World Cup winning team. So that was a great occasion. That was your first home game,
was
it?
That was my home debut,
great. And you got two goals that day.
I scored two that
brilliant,
day, yeah.
Brilliant. And then, I think Joe Harvey became manager of Newcastle United later, didn't he?
That's correct, yeah.
But you had signed on for another season or two, hadn't you?
Well, I had signed. I just signed. At that stage, you might remember that it was a... £20 a week was the basic wage that everybody got, and nobody could get more, and Jimmy Hill was trying to break that situation. But everybody signed per year.
Season by season, But then when Joe Harvey became manager, I think he try to move you on to York City or Rotherham United?
Well, he did. I went on trials down there. I was obliged to go on trials. I didn't particularly want to go to the clubs.
Yes.
But I was obliged by the players' union rules.
Ah, I see,
So I went down and I actually played the match in Rotherham, B team versus the first team.
I see,
And I foolishly scored two goals. And that made them more anxious to get me.
Of course.
But I didn't want to go, no.
You resisted it.
I resisted it, yeah.
And back you came to Shamrock Rovers.
And back I came to Shamrock Rovers.
And of course, that was when I think your first season back then, I think Rovers won the Grand Slam, didn't they?
We won everything bar the top four.
Yes,
Sean Thomas was the manager.
Thomas the manager, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Rovers won the cup 6 years in a row, I think, in the '60s, didn't they?
We did indeed,
And the famous match against, I'll always remember it, I was a youngster at the time, but I do remember it, the 56 final against Cork Athletic.
Yes.
You were 2-0 down with, 10, 12 minutes to go?
11 minutes to
11
go.
Minutes,
something like that,
And three goals in that time to win.
We scored three goals to win it. And one of the Cork directors had gone out to buy a bottle of champagne. And when he came back, in fair play to him, he handed it into our dressing room.
Well. But, I mean, they were household names, apart from yourself, on the Rovers team then, like Mickey Burke and Paddy Coe, Jerry Mackey, Ronnie Nolan.
Fergus, you could nearly sing it. Callaghan, Bourke, Mackey, Nolan, Keogh, Hennessy, McCann, Payton, Ambrose, Coates, Hamilton and Tui.
I know. Terrific. All great players, aren't they?
It was a great time for Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah.
It was because we had a very, very good side, and we brought full houses everywhere we went.
That's right.
It was just magic to be involved.
And I'll tell you, as a youngster, I used to go down to... I lived in Clontarf at the time, Liam, and I used to go down to Tulka Park because it was nearest, you see, every Sunday afternoon. And, like, you had some legendary duels, in inverted commas, with the great Bunny Fulham.
Absolutely.
Remember those days?
I still have the scars.
Have you? Yeah. I used to think that Bunny Fulham, like, kick anything that moved above the grass, you know.
Bunny was a tough player.
Yeah.
A good friend of mine, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But But football in those days was a lot tougher than it seems to be now.
Yeah.
You know, and but it was give and take, and after the game, everything was over and done with. There was no animosity.
I know. But Fergus, I would
have preferred to play for Drumcondra, not Shamrock Rovers.
Would you? Well, you're a local lad, aren't you?
Well, I was from East Wall.
Yes.
And I followed Drums, and we had the captain of Drums, Jim O'Mara, and Kit Lawler played the drums, and they all lived in East Wall.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
And it was just up the road, so it was my local team. Yeah. But I wasn't asked to sign for them. And
I know.
And Paddy Murphy, who used to play for Shamrock Rovers, and he became the scout afterwards. But he asked me to go up and sign for Shamrock Rovers, and I did.
Yeah,
it was the best decision I ever made.
Ah, yes, of course. And you rattled off that team and one of the players, of course, Paddy Code. He was a fabulous player, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, in my opinion, he was the best Shamrock Rovers player that I can remember. And he Frank O'Neill, I think, has beaten his record. He was the most capped League of Ireland player of his era, and then Frank O'Neill has since beaten that.
Yeah. And talking about internationals, Liam, yourself, you I think it was 8 caps in all, and 4 goals, and your first cap was in 1955, and in kind of a, do you remember that game against Yugoslavia?
I do indeed,
the Archbishop of Dublin recommended people not to go because it was a communist state?
The Legion of Mary actually picketed the laneway in Dalymount Park.
I know.
Yeah.
But a great crowd turned up. I think there were over 20,000 present.
And it's funny, Fergus, that when we were, you know the way you stand to the national anthem, and most players have a habit of, when the national anthem is over, of blessing themselves.
Yes, yes.
Well, all the Yugoslav teams blessed themselves.
Is that correct? I never knew that. Yeah.
Well, it seems, ironic, but apparently it was a Cardinal Stepanak or somebody like that was in house arrest or something.
Yes, yes.
And we were advised that we shouldn't play it.
I know. It was a 3-1 defeat, unfortunately. But you'll always remember that, your first cap, won't you?
I will indeed, yeah.
And then I know that you hold a unique record that many people may not know, Liam. You played in what was then the European Nations Cup, isn't that right? Against, was it Czechoslovakia, as they were known then, home and away. But it was a preliminary round, wasn't it, in 1959?
It was the first game played in that competition.
And you scored the first ever goal in that competition.
I scored the first ever goal, I scored, obviously, it was the first goal for Ireland, but it was also the first goal scored in the competition.
Yeah. That's a useful quiz question now that people might have up their ass. But it was a 2-0 win at home, but unfortunately 4-0 defeat away in the second leg. And then you had, in 62, I think you were with Shamrock Rovers for your first two caps, or first three, rather.
Right.
But then Newcastle United, when you played Iceland, Austria and Iceland, and you scored in all three.
That's right, yeah. And you know what happened to me then?
I do.
They dropped me.
They dropped you?
Yeah.
It's extraordinary. For the next game, you were left out.
I was left out, I had scored 3 goals from outside left, one in each match.
Yeah.
Obviously, the FEI weren't used to the fellas scoring goals, so they weren't. So they left me out the next match.
Yeah. But in those days, Liam, and correct me if I'm wrong or you don't agree with me, in those days, they didn't tend to pick League of Ireland players that much.
I know. No. Well, in fairness, people playing full-time football would be maybe fitter and better prepared, etc. Yeah. And, you'd want to be kind of a special home player to be getting in front of them.
Yeah.
We had beat some very, very good outside lefts around that time, and that was my position.
Joe Haverty would have been one, wouldn't he?
Well, the one who was an ever-present for a long time was Tommy Eglinton.
Oh, Tommy Eglinton, the late, great Tommy Eglinton.
Yeah, the late, great Tommy Eglinton, who played for Everton.
Yes.
And he was the man in possession.
Mm.
And then coming up behind him then would be Joe Haverty, who was a very, very good player and was playing with Arsenal.
Yes.
And I would have been trying to get my place in front of those two, which was very, very difficult.
I know.
You know?
And I think your next game, you were with Shamrock Rovers, of course, your next game for Ireland was against Austria in a nil-all draw. And then the final one, I think, against Belgium.
Against Belgium.
A 2-0 defeat. And just when I was checking on that one, Liam, sorry for...
Okay.
There were five League of Ireland players, including yourself, on the team that day against Belgium.
Yeah.
Fran Brennan was, I think, wasn't he?
That's right, yeah.
Jackie Hennessy and...
Frank
O'Neill, Jackie Mooney and yourself.
That's correct, yeah.
So there would have been, what, four Shamrock Rovers players?
That's right, yeah.
So that was a special day.
One day we had eight Shamrock Rovers players playing in an interleague match against... So, you know, but we were a special side, with due respect to all the other teams, but we were a special side.
Yeah. And I always remember Shamrock Rovers, now this was in 1956, I think, played Chelsea, isn't that right?
That's
in Dalymount,
yeah.
who had won the English First Division.
That's right, yeah.
And you beat them 3-2.
That's correct, yeah.
I always remember that day. I'm a Chelsea fan myself, I have to be honest.
Right, well, sure, there's none of us perfect.
What team do you support yourself, by the way?
Well, I would have been Liverpool. From the days of Billy Little.
Ah, yes,
being
Billy
Little. Being an outside left, I saw him play, and I was just... enraptured by him, and so I followed Liverpool from that day.
Good, you've a graph for Liverpool.
Good.
They're playing next Tuesday against Chelsea, of course, in the last game of the Champions League.
Yeah.
But Liam, you retired then, I think, in 1968. Can you remember vividly your last League of Ireland game?
No, because I didn't realise it was my last League of Ireland game.
Yeah.
But I had played for, I signed for Shamrock Rovers in 51, I had played for Shamrock Rovers and managed Shamrock Rovers, and we had, you know, I was involved in the six in a row FAI Cups, and I played in some of them, and I managed all of them, and but at that stage, you know, I was getting to my middle 30s. And I was lucky because I was I dropped myself, as you say. See, when you're most players are retired by their manager. But I was lucky that I was able to retire myself.
At your own choice.
Exactly.
You know. And just you mentioned the six in a row, I think, isn't it? Pat Courtney's the only one that's played in all six, isn't he?
Courtney played in all six games.
Including a replay, I think, wasn't it?
The steadiest fullback I've ever seen.
Ah, right, yeah. Served Rovers very well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And then I think you went up to Dundalk, Liam, and you were kind of a managing director up there, were you? Manager and director of the club.
Well, I was probably one of the first managers who would be on the board. Mm. And I had a couple of happy years up there. And I had been moved in my job to work in Dundalk.
I see.
It just wasn't practical to be coming up and down. But I only stayed a couple of years with Dundalk and come back to Rovers.
I know. And then, of course, you manager of the Republic of Ireland for a couple of years, 71 to 73.
For my sins.
Ah, well, still.
I absolutely loved it.
I'm sure you did, yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. And I noticed that one of the players you brought in for, I think, his then first cap was Damien Richardson.
I signed Damien Richardson from Home Farm for Shamrock Rovers.
Did you? Yeah.
Then
he went on to Gillingham, didn't he?
He went to Gillingham from then,
So, good. But anyway, you enjoyed the managership of the Republic of Ireland.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. And our first home match, we beat France.
Ah, yes, yeah.
2-1 in Dalymount.
Yeah.
And we drew with them in the second match away in Paris.
Yeah.
But my first match was a disaster. It was the second leg of, I think, the European Championships and against Austria. And Austria had beaten our full team in Dalymount Park 4-1. And this was with all the
cross-channel
players.
Yeah.
But for the second leg, the FAI in their wisdom had agreed to play the match on a Sunday. And we couldn't get any of the players who were playing on the Saturday in England.
Of course, yeah.
So we got Paddy Mulligan was able to come. I think he was carrying a bit of a knock, and he wasn't playing for Chelsea.
Yeah.
And the rest were all League of Ireland players.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And we got hammered.
What was the score? Can you remember?
I think it was six.
Six. Yeah.
But you know, out of that. Paddy Roach was in goal.
Can I say
that without Paddy Roach, it would have been a lot more than
is
six.
That right? Yeah.
And he went on to play for Manchester United. You know,
he did. Yeah, and served them well too.
Yes, absolutely.
But anyway, you, as I said, you did enjoy the managership of the national team.
I loved it. Yeah. And you know, I like to think we started to get a little bit of something going.
Yes, I know. Because John Giles was there then, wasn't he?
When I had taken over, John hadn't been playing for the previous couple of matches, but John came back and played.
Liam Brady played in your time, didn't he? When you were manager.
No.
No, did he not?
No.
Oh, sorry.
No, he didn't.
Steve Highway did, I think.
Steve Highway did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, good. Happy days indeed.
Happy days, right.
And Liam, Shamrock Rovers, just going back to Shamrock Rovers, you're obviously saddened with the fact that they're in the first division for next season.
Well, yes, I am indeed. Mm. I was in a no-win situation, Fergus, because for the last 15 years I've been associated with Home Farm Schoolboys.
I know.
And out of Home Farm Schoolboys, was born Dublin City.
Yes, yes.
And it was either Dublin City or Shamrock Rovers.
Yes.
That was going to go down.
That's right. Yeah.
And so one way or another, I was.
Yes,
you
in
know,
a no-win situation.
I had a leg in both camps.
Yes, yeah. But Pat Scully is the new manager now of Shamrock Rovers.
I'm pleased to see that. Mm. He's a very, very good young manager. Mm. And I've no doubt he'll do well.
Yeah, he did well with Kilkenny City.
He did indeed.
So hopefully they'll bounce back into the Premier Division.
Well, please God, yeah. I honestly believe that the league needs a good Shamrock Rovers team.
It does, yeah, it does. Because they've great support, haven't
absolutely.
They? Marvellous support.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, Fergus.
And Liam, just moving on to the FAI Cup Final, Carlsberg Cup Final tomorrow. Will you be in Lansdowne Road?
I'm afraid I won't
be. No. But you'll obviously be taking interest in it. And
I will indeed.
It hopefully will be a good game. Do you fancy Cork City to win it, the bookies' favourites?
Well, I've seen them on telly quite a bit. Mm. And Damien has them playing very, very well.
Yeah.
But then, the cup throws up things.
Oh, it does.
You know,
it's a once off, isn't it?
Going into the game, Cork would have to be favourites.
Mm,
But then, yes, in a one off situation.
Yeah, anything can happen.
Anything, yes.
And Paul Doolan has done a great job with Drogheda, hasn't he?
He has indeed, yes.
And he's a great career in Cup and League winning.
He has a great, as you say, cup career.
Yeah. And Liam, just before you go on, I'm sorry for holding you up so much, but I've enjoyed chatting to you. Do you take an interest in all sports apart from soccer?
Well, yeah, I'd be a big Gaa man.
Oh, good, yeah.
Yes,
the Dubs,
yeah.
No doubt.
Well, the Dubs, obviously, but I love hurling.
Oh, good, yeah, great.
Right.
Yeah, so do I.
When I was a kid, if I could have been a hurler, I'd have been a hurler.
Yes, I know, yeah.
But I just wasn't good enough.
I know, but you go to Croke Park regularly then?
I go to
Croke
Park, yes. Yeah.
It's great entertainment, isn't it?
I think it's brilliant.
It really is. And hopefully we'll see soccer and rugby international there maybe.
Well, please God.
Yeah, please God, it'll be marvellous. Well, Liam, can I say congratulations on your career and really appreciate you giving us your time to talk to Near FM Sport.
Thank you very much, Fergus.
And hopefully we'll talk again in the not-too-distant future.
Okay, thanks, Fergus.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Thanks, Liam. Bye-bye.
That was Liam Toohey, the great, great Liam Toohey, who sadly passed away last weekend.